On the panel today, Randy Rahamin, principal at Navigator with a focus on management, design, execution of public affairs. Sandy Annunziata, Niagara Regional Councillor representing the town of Fort Erie, chair of the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority and former professional athlete in the CFL. And Jennifer Innes, Regional Councillor Ward 3 and 4, town of Caledon, within the region of Peel. Randy, you're the one on the panel that was actually here in the city when this happened yesterday. What were your initial thoughts?
Well, like everybody else, I was completely shocked and horrified to see what was going on. I did see amateur video of the police takedown of the individual who's responsible for this. And I was shocked as well. I mean, I was just shocked because it seems like, I mean, you've got your own family, your own children to think about. If you're the police officer, you've got your own life to think about. And yet you're so, in my opinion, and, you know, I'm just an amateur, but I was watching and I thought, he's so calm. Who uses he's been trained to use rational thought to think through all the risks. We all look at the video from now and say, maybe he wasn't carrying a gun. I mean, maybe it was obvious to the police officer he wasn't carrying a gun. Sure. But this guy just killed a whole bunch of people and caused carnage and then is standing before you threatening to shoot you, saying, I have a gun in my pocket and you don't shoot. I mean, that demonstrates significant restraint. And I think a whole bunch of praise needs to be heaped on this individual.
Yeah, Jennifer, it's something that Christy Blatchford has talked about before, but she reemphasized it this morning on Moore in the Morning, and that is that this is the kind of thing that police officers encounter on an incredibly frequent basis, where they are dealing with an unstable individual who's threatening violence, who may have already done something violent. It doesn't come to the public fore in the way this one does, obviously, but that they deal with it all the time. And 97% of the time, statistically, this is the end result. The police officer manages to bring it to a peaceful conclusion. And I don't think that can be overemphasized, especially the climate the police live in today.
No, and I think that, you know, definitely kudos to the officer and all the first responders, because I think that what they would have seen when they got to that scene is something that I know personally I would never be able to live with. So the fact that they can turn all of that off, turn on their training and do what needs to be done in the way that they've been taught is phenomenal. And I think that they all should receive our praise. But I think it's definitely where their training takes over. I know, you know, practicing to be a black belt, the more you practice, the more when people make a move on you, it's instinctual, your response. And I think that the more that these officers train and our first responders train, it is a first instinct that takes over, and it's the right instincts that take over. So, and like you said, 97% of the time, they do what needs to be done.
Yeah, and he's doing his job, right? And these are the moments that you train for and you hope never happen. But when they do happen, it's nice to see our first responders, our police officers, very well prepared. I got to give them a lot of credit, because sometimes the urge with respect to that eye for an eye justice mechanism within you. I mean, if I'm one of those family members that have just witnessed or seen one of my loved ones mowed down, I'm urging the cop to shoot him right between the eyes. Having said that, good restraint, and you can see the training that this officer, has.
Sure. I mean, I watched the video, and I see the guy pull up what apparently was a cell phone, as it turns out. But he says, I have a gun, and then his hand comes up like he's pulling it out of his holster. And the police officer says, I don't care. So he does it again, which, like, at that point, it just looks ridiculous. Like, I'm sure at that point, Officer Lamb knew, I'm not dealing with a gun here. I'm dealing with a cell phone. But what I was talking about, Randy, in my commentary at the open is the instant. I mean, you know, to sit there and watch a video and second guess it is simple. But in an instant where a dangerous person makes that move, I'd have pulled the trigger. I'm sure I would have.
And I've heard some reports that he actually said, I have a gun in my pocket. So, I mean, the idea that, and if he's making a very fast move and he's threatening that he has a gun in his pocket, I mean, you would never blame the police officer for actually shooting the guy to protect himself. But what I've, you know, just with regards to, you know, 97% of the time police resolve these issues without incident. But I think that, and I don't have the stats, I think it's very rare for police officers to actually pull out their gun from their holsters. I don't think it's a common thing. So the fact that this officer, who knows how often he's been in these situations, you had to pull his gun, but then actually use significant restraint is a big deal.
And by the way, in the 3% where it wasn't resolved without incident, that doesn't mean that 3% of the time the police were wrong. It just means that, you know, 97% of the time it's turning out this way.
Our in-depth coverage of terror on Toronto streets continues on News Talk 1010.
On the panel today, it's Randy Rahamim, Sandy Annunziata, and Jennifer Innes. We are told by authorities there's no reason to believe at this point that yesterday's attack in Toronto that has left 10 dead and I think 6 in critical condition in the hospital was terrorist related. Now, they're not saying it wasn't. They're saying there's no reason to believe that at the moment. But listen to what Rosie DiMano writes in The Star. By the way, Mayor John Tory expected to make a statement coming up around 9:30. And just before I go to this Rosie DiMano thing, Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale is speaking at the G7.
This is a very large homicide investigation currently underway, led by the Toronto Police Service with cooperation from the RCMP, indeed from every level of government and every relevant police and security agency, all collaborating seamlessly together. I want to commend the remarkable work of the Toronto Police Service in dealing with the situation that they were confronted with on Yonge Street last evening, and also thank and pay tribute to all of the first responders that were called to the scene to deal with a horrible and tragic situation. Police officers and first responders are amazing people, as we all know within our respective jurisdictions. They do truly remarkable work, and we are grateful to them for their exceptional efforts in cases of emergency.
Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale at the G7. Again, the Mayor of the City of Toronto, John Tory, expected to speak around 9:30, and we will bring that to you live. Meanwhile, I continue with my panel. Randy Rahamim, Sandy Annunziata, and Jennifer Innes. So Rosie DiMano in The Star today, excellent columnist, takes up the idea that we are told by authorities that this does not appear to be connected in any way to national security, to terrorism. But she writes about how difficult it is to mitigate against the possibilities of people doing something like was done yesterday. The bitter and radicalized individual who never appears as even a blip on the radar. The mentally deranged loner. The freak fanatic. The angry young man who hates women. Condolences and assurances, of course, but mealy-mouthed non-speak, even shorn of death cult association, devoid of jihad affiliation or political messaging, it's terrorism. You're nodding your head, Randy. I mean, there's a difference between somebody wrote to me today, there's a woman with a golf club at the Canadian Tire and we call it terrorism, and this guy, we didn't. Well, she said it was terrorism, the woman at the Canadian right. Tire. This guy, we don't know.
It may not be state-sponsored terrorism. It may not be Islamic terrorism. It may not be, terrorism that's motivated by an ideology. But it's terror. I mean, this person inflicted this is a mass murder.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It inflicted terror on the city of Toronto. And I was actually annoyed that that what you saw on television and said was van incident at Yonge and Sheppard or Yonge and Finch. Well, that doesn't describe it either, does it? And if your life was ruined by that incident, if your life was ruined or your family's life was ruined, it's not a van pedestrian incident. It's a mass murder. It's terror.
Okay, but maybe when they wrote that, they didn't know yet what they were dealing with.
Well, no, I still see it. Like, I don't know if a lot of you are on Facebook, but there's been this thing circulating. You know how you can declare yourself safe on Facebook? And it says, declare yourself safe from the van incident, the van pedestrian incident. I was like, that was not a van incident.
Yeah, and I think we need a reboot as far as this word of terrorism, because it's infiltrated the lexicon of today, and we always associate it with, to Randy's point, state-sponsored terrorism. You're doing things in a horrific way in order to push an ideology or an agenda. I mean, the weapon is different, but the outcome is the same. This particular individual, deranged as he was, he used a van to take the lives of 10 innocent people.
And maybe more.
Or maybe more. I look at, the latest homicidal inclinations of our own serial killer, Bruce MacArthur. How many people did he kill? I think it's up to 7 or 8 right now. But
allegedly.
Yeah, the mechanism is different. At the end of the day, it's the same outcome. innocent lives have been lost. If you want to use the word terrorism, fine. I call it homicidal tendencies. It's incredible the level of depravity that people will stoop to in order to accommodate their horrific goals.
Well, terrifying, though, and terrorism are technically different things.
Exactly.
All right. But when you come in from the farm, Jennifer, this morning onto the mean streets of Toronto, did you feel any different today?
I didn't feel any different in the sense of my sense of security. I'm sad for the city, and I'm sad for our, you know, our fellow citizens. I think everybody is feeling that way. But I know we talked about this before in the show about, I think it was after the Ariana Grande concert and the incident that happened there. You can't live your life differently. You have to live every day for every moment and enjoy all that it is, because you never know when it is your last day.
So you drove into the city, you parked, you walked over to Tim's, and got your coffee. Did you take an extra look around yourself? Did you feel any different being in the city, or was it another warm spring morning and something terrible happened yesterday, has nothing to do with today?
I think that those that know me know that I'm forever the optimist, and I think we learn from things that have happened, but I think we do really have to take stock in the fact that we are here, and we need to celebrate the memory of those that were lost, but we also need to take in the city and to take in the sights and enjoy actually being here, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, Amanda Galbraith is a regular on Fridays on Moore in the Morning, and she put out a tweet that said, you know, I couldn't figure out what to say except that this is our city and they can't take it away from us. And I thought,
well said.
Good.